Today on Real Radio.
I believe now if this church would pray, things would be rocked in the spiritual realm. Overwhelming power, so that the combatant that's against us would be overly impressed.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? Lessons that demonstrate how Scripture answers questions about the lifestyle choices of the believer. Now, one of the greatest privileges we have as believers is the fact that we can communicate with our Creator, God Himself. Scripture has a whole lot to say about prayer. In fact, did you know that an entire book of the Bible is comprised of communication to and about our Maker? That just might give you a good idea of how important it is to pray. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study that answers the question, why should I pray?
Why should I pray? Because, church, let's be honest. There's two areas that you and I struggle under, often either a self-imposed pressure called guilt, or due to the manipulation of others upon our lives, in two key areas, and that is prayer and Bible reading. Every year, Christians around the world buy devotional books and certain, through the Bible in a year commitments, which are great, by the way. They're wonderful. And I encourage them. However, I refuse, it only took me 25 years as a Christian to figure it out, I refuse to become enslaved or in bondage to the calendar, though, regarding that. What do I mean? Well, you know when you're reading your Bible and you miss, you're sick, or you got too busy too quick, you miss your daily allocated Bible reading for that day, right? So, I gotta double up tomorrow. You know what happens? You never catch up. And then guilt comes in. Oh, I'm a loser. And your friend will show up and say, oh, wasn't that a great chapter today? No, you have no idea what the chapter was because you didn't make it there. You're a week behind. And then the guilt builds and builds. I won't do that. I'll read through the Bible. But I tell you, if I skip a day, I believe that God is involved in me skipping that day. I don't know why. I can't explain it. I just know that God is not into guilt in this area of Bible reading. I'm committed to Bible reading. But if I'm sick or if I can't make it that day, I refuse to let the enemy take what God has intended for good and bring it about for bad in my life. Second thing is prayer. Which one of you, and if you raise your hand, I'll have you. No, I'm kidding. Which one of you thinks for a moment that you pray enough? You pray too much. Gosh, Pastor, I'm so up on all my prayers, I'm going to take next week off. None of us, and you know this, none of us pray enough. We can't pray enough. That's why the Bible encourages us, and we'll hear it over and over again in this series, that we are to have an attitude. We are to pray without ceasing. That is having a mind of constant communion with God. It doesn't mean that you take the moment to go into that prayer closet or attend a prayer meeting. Though, that's good. It is having an attitude of prayer. And we see a church in its inception that's a praying church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word, Peter's teaching, his preaching, on the southern steps there of the temple, they were baptized. And about that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then awe, reverence, fear, worship came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and in the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And I might add, he did that because it was a church that was alert and worthy of him to add people to. Did you hear that? It was a church that God wanted people to be added to. Christian, listen up. The church that you attend, if it's this church, I assume that most of you, it is this church. Is it a church that God wants to send people to, or he has believers, or new believers, I should say, coming to birth in Christ in such a church? The church that you and I are involved in, is it a work of God that he wants to add to the church daily such as should be saved? And maybe you're visiting, and maybe you're traveling from out of state or wherever you're from. You need to ask yourself that question. The New Testament church that I should be involved in my community, is it a church that is growing? Is it a church that's preaching and teaching the Word of God? Is it a church that does things to encourage fellowship and the breaking of bread and the conversing one with another? Is that church trying to go even beyond itself to get you together? Now, you may take that lightly. I know this church doesn't, but you may take it lightly that, oh, you know, my church is always trying to get people together. You should thank God for that intent of that church to get you together. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that as the days continue to get evil, we better be careful that we do not forsake the gathering together as a church, as some are doing. They forget. They give up. They stop attending a church. Oh, my church has got a picnic this week. Oh, my church has got a baptism this week. Oh, my church has got a concert this week. You know why churches go through that effort to put that together? You think they do that to abuse themselves? They don't do that to abuse themselves. They do that to get God's people together. And one of those things is in the area of prayer. Charles Spurgeon said that the lungs of the church is its prayer meeting. Now listen, for those of you who attend this church, I'm going to challenge you in the next several weeks. You may not want to come for the next few weeks. If you're a spiritual wimp, you don't want to come. How's that? Now all the guys said, well, that's it, I'm coming then. If we're going to battle, if we're going to be real, then we need to be a church of prayer. We need to attend prayer meetings. We need to, if there's one missing, we need to get one going. And we cannot pray enough. Why? We are so frail. We're just little people until, as an old hymn says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saints upon their knees. Prayer, invisible, a dangerous weapon. To whom? To the one who will be overwhelmingly impressed when it's released upon him. When we pray, church, do we really believe? I have serious doubts that we do, by and large. I'm not saying this to be dramatic nor mean, but I seriously doubt that you and I believe often enough that when we pray, there are drastic effects in the spiritual realm. I thank God that he's called me into ministry to where we are constantly involved in prayer, because you know what? We constantly get to see effects. I'm grateful for that. Maybe you are on the outskirts of prayer. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven. Thank God for that. But you don't find prayer a heated, passionate aspect of your Christian life. You pray when you need to. Oh yeah, you're faithful to thank God for the food that you got on your plate. But outside of that, when was the last time you really felt that you did warfare and damage to the enemy in prayer? I believe now if this church would pray, things would be rocked in the spiritual realm. Overwhelming power, so that the combatant that's against us would be overly impressed. Prayer is invisible. And yet the moment you and I pray, there's a connection that we'll talk about next week in heaven, and God moves. God over and over again in the Bible says, I'll move and I'll act and I'll do when you pray. Church, are we praying? I'm not putting the weight upon any of our shoulders. Are we praying enough? We all admit we need to pray more. But you know what? We need a concerted effort of prayer to be rejuvenated in our lives. And listen, I almost feel like I say this every week, but do we have problems in our lives? Yeah, then pray. Do we have pressures in our lives? Pray. You might say, well, Jack, I have been praying. Keep praying. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, keep praying, knock, keep knocking. He said, ask, keep asking, seek, keep seeking. Daniel prayed, and that was a tremendous thing, and we'll get to this one in the future. But Daniel was praying, he was fasting, that is, he was drinking water and only eating vegetables. That's what God told him to do, so he did it. And he was praying. And we come to that portion of the Bible and we say, boy, he's been praying a long time. Does anybody know how long Daniel prayed? Thank you. Very good, Matthew. 21 days Daniel prayed. 21 days on his face praying before God. Now, did he get up and do his business? Of course he did. Did he take care of the things that he had to do? Of course he did. But he went right back to prayer. In 21 days, no answer. The heavens might have felt like brass. Have you ever been like that? Has it ever felt like that? When you're praying and it's like your prayer doesn't even get out of the roof of your house. Daniel stayed at it. And then, in one of his moments of prayer, on the 21st day of his time of prayer, the atmosphere opened up before him and an angel arrived. And I don't mean to make light of it, but if you read carefully, it's quite interesting. The angel shows up and basically goes, sorry. What? When you began to pray, I was dispatched to give you an answer from God about your prayer request. I was detained for 21 days in the atmosphere above your head. The prince of Persia, the enemy, sent to fight with me, and we were in the atmosphere warring back and forth, and there's a huge fight going on in the spiritual realm. I had an answer 21 days ago to give you from God, the angel said. But this prince of Persia, by the way, isn't that interesting? Persia? Yeah, that's Iraq today. The demonic power that resided over Iraq in that time, maybe it's the same one, the angel said, he's mighty, and I couldn't get away from him. Until, who came to the rescue? Every time you see Michael, the archangel, show up, that dude must be extremely buffed. He is one bad angel. Every time you see Michael, the archangel, he's involved in a fist fight in heaven, in the atmosphere. He's fighting demons. He's fighting Satan himself. By the way, don't ever think that Satan and Jesus are arch rivals, okay? Class, listen, get that in your head now. Satan and Jesus are not arch rivals. And contrary to Mormonism, they're not brothers either. Not brothers. Satan and Jesus are not brothers. And Satan is no match for Jesus. In fact, if you read Colossians chapter 1, among many other scriptures, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus Christ is the creator of angels. Did you know that? That's why in 1 Timothy 3:16, that when Mary was giving birth to Jesus in the flesh into this world, it says there that angels gawked in awe at the revelation of God manifested in flesh. Christ coming into the world. No, if Satan's got an opponent, if he's got an equal, it's Michael. Michael and Lucifer, or Michael and Satan, appear to have the same amount of warfare powers. And by the way, Michael has been known from time to time to take care of matters very, very efficiently. And what an amazing, amazing angel he is. He shows up, he knocks out, just boom. All right, take that message to Daniel now. I'll take care of it from here. Oh, man. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? Spielberg, if you're listening, Spielberg, do one on that, will you? Do a movie on that one. You want to learn more about that? Get Frank Peretti's first book, Piercing the Darkness. That'll keep you up all night. So exciting. Oh, man. The angel arrives and says, Daniel, I got the answer. And the answer is given. What if Daniel would have stopped praying on the 19th day? What if Daniel would have stopped praying on the 20th day? What if Daniel, after three tries, I give up. No, the angel came and spoke regarding this tremendous thing. We need to keep praying. We need to stay at it. We are not powerless. The evils that are coming upon the world, the evils that are supposedly coming upon America, California, the threat of terror and attack. Listen, the greatest thing you can do to be at ease and calm and have the wisdom of God at times like this is to pray, because God will tell you exactly what to do. Stay at it, church. I tell you what, we're going to stay at it. If there's only three or two or one of us left, we're going to stay at it. God says, I'm only looking for one person to pray. And there's more than one person here. We need to pray. We need to wake up and be alert. No wonder why it says in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread. Look at it carefully. And in what? Prayers, plural, S. Not prayer. Prayers. And as this study progresses, we will learn what prayers mean. There are various types of prayer. There's intercessory type prayer. Among many types of prayer, there's prayer of adoration, there's prayer of worship, there's prayer of warfare. There's the type of prayer that we go before God and we're interceding hard because someone that we love or know is sick or injured. Prayer has many types of manifestations for battle. When the church found itself in the early church in trouble, what did it do? It prayed. Remember? It prayed. They didn't know much, huh? You and I know so much more than what the early church did. It wasn't until much later, till mid-90 AD, that the book of Revelation was given to John. It wasn't until later that the scriptures were available to all, Old and New Testament alike. Look what you and I have now. We not only have the Bible, we've got all kinds of lexicons and the meaning of the, not leprechauns, lexicons, the meaning of the Greek word, the meaning of the Hebrew word, and what was this in Aramaic, and when Jesus said this, what was the culture like? We're so rich in our knowledge, aren't we, class, huh? Then you know what? We need to pray more because we know more. Our faith should be huge. Our faith should dwarf the faith of the early church, don't you think? It should. We have so much more knowledge. We've got, and not only that, we've got such a scientific world that is out there that many people early on thought would show the Bible to be bankrupt and void of knowledge. And yet every bit of scientific achievement has shown all along that the Bible is exactly right on in scientific descriptions and in scientific understanding. The Bible, it's amazing to me. When the church was in trouble, it prayed. When the church found itself in need, it went to prayer. Maybe you're in trouble. Maybe you're in need. We're to pray. And the church is to gather and pray. We're to pray for each other. It is a horrible day when we as Christians have so much pride that we cannot turn to the person next to us and say, hi, are you a brother? Are you a brother here? I mean, I know you're at Calvary. I know you stand next to me every week. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Can you remember something without giving you the details? Will you pray for fill in the blank? Will you pray, I just lost my job of 28 years. Will you pray? Will you pray, please? You don't even need to know the name of my son or my daughter, but will you pray? And that Christian ought to turn to that one who's making the request and say, I guarantee you I will pray. Church, if we're not doing that, we're pathetic. We are, as Keith Green said, we are asleep in the light. We're sleeping. We need to pray. Why? Because we're all in trouble. We all have needs. And sometimes I'm wondering if my trouble and my needs isn't exactly what the doctor ordered to get me to pray, and sometimes to break down that wall of pride that I have too much pride to turn to you and say, will you please pray for this situation? What would keep us from that request but pride? Doesn't the Bible say we have not because we ask not. So let us ask over and over again. When the church was young and found itself persecuted, what did it do? It prayed. When the church was young and found itself making a difference in the world, that's my way of saying success, it became successful, not in a bad way, in a good way. It was making a difference in the world. It prayed more. Often churches get successful. Oh, look, we've got a big building. We've got a lot of people. We've got a lot of money. We've got a lot of presence in the community, or we've got a lot of missionaries, or you just fill in the blank. Be careful. You're now, right then, beginning to lose your power. Boast not in thyself. Seekest thou great things, says the scripture, seek them not. That God be glorified, and he will always be glorified if we're praying and seeking him. But whenever the early church was in need, they prayed. A great example of this, of the early church in need, and a great example of its invisible power of prayer, is Acts chapter 12. Turn there if you would, I'll read it. Acts chapter 12. People, this is both powerful. Power, yeah. The power is going to be unleashed. But it's a problem too. Kind of like that bomb. The E-bomb. Well, it's an overwhelming power. It's just proven to be unpredictable when we test it. Boy, I wonder what they mean by that. Okay, press the button. Let's test it. Forget you. You press the button. I thank God prayer's not like that. If anything, prayer can be such a specific, tactical weapon that can go right into the camp of the enemy. And we can say, Lord, my child's been sick. You know that, God. Before you ever created the heavens and the earth, you knew that my child would be battling this illness. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that, first of all, if this illness and sickness is from you, glorify your name in it, because I don't understand it. But if it's not from you, then, oh God, and listen, I'm letting you into my prayer life. Oh God, if it is not from you, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will so take the enemy and you will bring this, what he has planned, against his own head. That you will take the teeth out of the lion who's going about roaring and seeking whom he may devour, and that you'll take his claws and rip them out of his paws, that he would have no power over my child. Lord, if it's from you, grant us the grace, and if it's from the enemy, slay him in Jesus' name. I tell you, we're at war. And some of you wives, you need to fight for your husbands, not with your words. It's not going to work. I've been telling him every day for a month. You can tell him every day for the rest of his life. It won't work. I've been putting tracks in his lunch. That's not going to work. Get on your knees. If you have a godly friend who can keep their lips quiet and not gossip, get her with you. And pray. Husband, you got a whacked out wife, loony, weirding out. I don't want you anymore. I don't want these kids. I want the world. I've been watching reality TV. And that's what I want. That's why America's watching the reality TV. Their life is boring. That, you know what? If anybody had any guts in the media world, they would get real Christians and put them on reality TV. You want reality TV? Okay, here it is. Reality TV. What are we going to be doing tonight? Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is going to go down with Pastor Tarr. We're going to go down to Hollywood and Vine, and we're going to share with the hookers and prostitutes, the drug addicts, and the bums. You want reality TV? Pray with somebody who smells so bad you can't even get near them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Pray? It's part of Pastor Jack's series simply called Why Should I?, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Hey, I'd like to remind you about Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs every Wednesday night on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. You know, that's the beauty of his channel. No matter where you are in the world, you can join us right here for Pastor Jack's midweek study. Now, I get to just get a hold of my wife, get in the car, and go see Pastor Jack live, but you can join us on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.